Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Now, on this Trinity Sunday, the lectionary gives us a passage that helps us to better understand how God moves in our world as creator, companion, and spirit. In this reading from the book of Proverbs, this presence of God comes alive in the voice of Lady Wisdom. Now, wisdom is the most developed personification of God's presence in the Hebrew scriptures. The word for wisdom in Hebrew is chokmah, and in Greek, it's sophia. Now, throughout the Old Testament, wisdom is depicted as a prophet, the establisher of justice, the breath of God that is blown into the world to create order out of chaos. And wisdom is also consistently named as sister and mother, and an assortment of other female roles in which she symbolizes transcendent power, ordering and delighting in the universe. She is that presence which pervades the world and interacts with both nature and humanity in an effort to lure us along the right path. So, looking through our Christian lens, wisdom is the Holy Spirit. So, in this passage, we're told that wisdom was with God at the time the universe was created. In fact, wisdom claims that she was the first of God's creations. If we look back at the opening lines of the book of Genesis, we're told a wind from God swept across the formless void, and then there was light. That wind, that breath of God, was a manifestation of God's spirit. That wind was wisdom. Now, we Christians, with our Trinitarian theology, may think that we developed this concept of the Holy Spirit taking up residence in this world to guide us and delight in us. But our Jewish sisters and brothers were way ahead of us on this. So in the Hebrew scriptures, Lady Wisdom is a streetwise, justice-driven, passionate figure who wants nothing less than for everyone to follow her in her playful, determined footsteps, as she seeks both to transform and delight in our world. So let's listen now to this passage from the book of Proverbs, and listen also for the word of God.
Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out. To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths. I was brought forth when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills. I was brought forth when he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Here ends the reading of our lesson for today.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, this opening verse from the Gospel of John was intended to mirror the creation story that we find in the book of Genesis. For Christians, the Word is Jesus, the physical manifestation of God's teachings birthed into this world as a human being for us to learn from and lean on and exemplify. Our Christian scripture tells us that Jesus was with God from the beginning. And our Jewish scripture tells us that wisdom was there as well, showing us that from the very beginning, creation occurs in community. From the beginning, God was three in one. One God expressed in three different forms, moving in our lives in three different ways. Now, this is the mystery of the Trinity in a nutshell. But if you're still confused or even wondering why any of this matters, it might be more helpful to think of the Trinity in terms of family. Now, you may have noticed in our opening call to worship, the three different expressions of God are framed in terms of family. Our Father, Mother, Creator, our Brother, Jesus, and our Sister, Spirit. In the simplest of terms, God is a relational being, made up of three expressions of the divine that live in relationship with one another. And because we are created in the image of God, we are relational beings as well. We have an innate desire and need to live in relationship with one another, with the created world, and with God. And with that power that lies outside of us, whether we call it God or the universe or the collective creative energy and spirit and wisdom of all humanity over time. Because even those who struggle with their understanding of God would admit that living in relationship with this collective wisdom that informs our lives is something that we all do. Now, this is a good time to remind ourselves that wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Knowledge centers on facts and ideas that we acquire through study and research and observation and experience. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of that knowledge are true and right and lasting and applicable to our lives. Knowledge is about learning. Wisdom informs how we apply what we learn. Like many of you, the wisdom, or much of the wisdom, I gleaned early on in life came from my parents. My father, in particular, saw it to be his role in the family to impart his wisdom upon his children, to ensure that we didn't make the mistakes that many do. From my father, we learned commitment and responsibility. He exemplified that Protestant work ethic. He'd leave for work at 5 in the morning and often didn't arrive home until well after 6 at night. And on occasion, he would eat dinner and head right back to work and work until 9 p.m. With 10 children to feed and clothe, he discerned that financially, this was a wise use of his time. And raising 10 children in a tiny 4-bedroom house, he likely also discerned that staying at work a bit longer was a wise move for his sanity as well. Now, from my father, we also learned the importance of punctuality and planning. My father is one who liked to arrive at least 2 hours early for any appointment, meeting, or scheduled train, plane, or bus departure. Just in case he encountered traffic, or the car broke down, or he missed a turn and got lost. And if he did get lost, he seemed to think it was wise to never admit it, at least not to my mother. My father also leaned heavily on the wisdom of pragmatism and frugality. When each of us turned 18, he made sure we all had our own bank account, our own life insurance policy, and if we had a credit card, we were to pay it off every month in its entirety and never carry a balance. And in our house, my father also controlled the thermostat. And he made sure we never wasted heat by opening a window in a month that contained an R. And my father passed along most of his wisdom by example. He was a man of few words. Despite being a third-generation Italian-American and being born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, when we made a mistake or demonstrated a need for wisdom to be imparted upon us, he would take note of our infraction, sit us down, look us in the eye, and say, "What's the matter with you, huh?" Now, we never were quite sure if this was a rhetorical question or if he actually wanted to know what the matter with us was. Now, the point of me sharing all of this with you is that, like most fathers, my father was far from perfect. He was exceedingly kind, he had a wonderful sense of humor, and he was generous to a fault. He was punctual and pragmatic, and he poured himself into his work, but he also struggled with patience for those who weren't doing the same. He liked things to be ordered and predictable, and as we know, both children and life are rarely either. It helps us to frame the Trinity in terms of human families, because this is our understanding, our frame of reference of what it means to live in relationship. We may call God Father or Mother, but it's important to remember that God is not like our human fathers or our human mothers. God is not imperfect or limited. God can handle our chaos, our messiness, our tendency to make mistakes, and offers us unconditional love and grace in return, always. And likewise, our sister wisdom is not like our human wisdom, which tends to be restricted by our human limitations, our limited perspective, our limited understanding, our limited capacity to use our wisdom to benefit us all, rather than for the benefit of the small circle of relationships that we've cultivated and value. Our sister wisdom shouted at that city gate, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live." She carried within her the wisdom of our all-powerful and unlimited God. So would she deem it wise to follow the human wisdom that we often rely upon? The wisdom that tells us that it's practical and frugal to create barriers that keep some on the outside and some on the inside well-fed and favored, while those who stand on the outside have little hope of being either in their lifetime. The wisdom that tells us that war and violence and inequity and injustice are a natural byproduct of our humanness, our aforementioned limitations, and therefore it's pointless to seek peace or equity or justice, even in a limited way. The wisdom that tells us is compassionate and kind to teach others about a God who loves them unconditionally, while simultaneously creating a list of those who are destined to be rejected and punished by that same God, because we see them as broken or imperfect in some way. Our sister Wisdom, speaking through our brother Jesus, had much to say about the human wisdom that we often call upon to guide us. In response, Jesus offered divine wisdom, which is much different than our own. Love your neighbor and your enemy as yourself. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Whatever you do for the least among you, you also do for me. We are relational beings created in the image of God, and through our brother Christ and our sister Spirit, God teaches us what it means to live in relationship. If we can just get ourselves out of the way, our fears, our biases, our misunderstandings, there is much wisdom to be had in the Word and the words that we hold dear. There is much wisdom to be had in the examples that Jesus set for us in his time, and the movement of the Spirit that is still whirling around us in our time. Our sister Wisdom is constantly pushing us and pulling us, and in some cases dragging us towards the life of full relationship that we were created to have and that we long to have. That relationship we long to have with others, with God, and with creation around us. Even as we resist it over and over again because we fear what we will lose rather than anticipate all that we have to gain. So when wisdom calls, are we listening to the voice of our divine father and mother, our brother and our sister, who together as one God delights in this created world and the human beings contained within it, and who continually calls us back into relationship and reminds us that God does not create alone. Wisdom and Word were with God at the beginning, because creation occurs in community. Thanks be to God, and amen.